Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:13 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 28th. I thought I would kick off today with this interesting chart from Stifel. They've produced an estimate of the M3. The Federal Reserve stopped producing M3 figures nearly a decade ago, and that was always going to be a suspicious outcome, but the fact of the matter is that money supply has been accelerating higher over the course of the last 3 months. We are at peaks today that are way in excess of what we had in 2008. So when we think about the size of the central bank balance sheets around the world, we think about the size of the deficits that are being created around the world, then we can also think about the amount of money that is being printed and put into the system. Well, all of that is contributing to asset price inflation. And that is one of the factors behind the fact that the NASDAQ has been leading on the upside, because it has demonstrated throughout the last decade that it is the go-to index for access to the companies that make best use of cheap, available, abundant liquidity. So that's one of the most significant facts in the very significant rebound that we've had. We've also seen that people have been falling over themselves in the last week or two to come out with bullish forecasts and are predicting that the S&P 500 is on the cusp of breaking out to new all-time highs, that it will at least go back and test the peak from January. But we're still in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it finished in negative territory in here today. It gave up the initial advance. That wasn't down an awful lot. But there are other machinations that are out there on the horizon, not least what exactly is going to be the U.S. response to China's imposition of new security laws on Hong Kong. The facade of Hong Kong's autonomy has been completely impaired, and now the U.S. is being taunted with, or at least their bluff is being called, as to what are they in fact willing to do about it. But we'll come to that in a moment. The other significant movement we had in here today was in Europe. The DAX index has been up for 5 consecutive days. It is now right in the region of its trend mean. But one thing that I think is particularly relevant is that the euro is now also rallying. And this is a new departure, because historically, and most particularly over the course of the last few years, it was weakness in the euro was inflating the nominal price level of European assets. In other words, the stock market performance was almost wholly dependent on the devaluation of the currency. But the euro has broken out on the upside. It is now back above the trend mean for the first time in a couple of months. Now, outside of the period that was extraordinarily volatile in March, we have had other occasions when the euro has broken back above the trend mean, but it did not hold. So, in order for this to truly be a change of trend, it is going to have to at least hold the 110 area. But there is the potential that it will be able to do that because of the change that is occurring within the eurozone in particular. If the eurozone moves in a more concrete fashion towards federalism, with a formal transfer mechanism between stronger and weaker countries, or the federalization of the total quantity of debt in exchange for a much more integrated financial system, taxation system, benefits system, and regulatory environment, then that would obviously be greeted by investors in a very welcome fashion. We're still a long way from that series of conditions that would be required to really call it a federal state. But the fact that instead of forcing the constituent governments to absorb debts from the private sector on this occasion, which is what caused the sovereign wealth crisis in 2012 and 13, they are now looking at providing as much as $750 billion worth of stimulus, and that's significant. It's also lending some confidence to investors that the euro is not about to disintegrate, and that in fact the region is capable in extremis of in fact tackling some of their most intransigent problems. Well, when we then think about the euro stocks index, it's also popped on the upside, and it still has a wide overextension relative to the trend mean. When we then look at it on a much longer term basis, well, we can see that it has been ranging below, mostly below the 400 point level for what feels like a very long time. And it's got a lot of work to do to unwind the oversold condition. But the reality is here that we've got ample scope for additional upside if Europe can in fact get its regulatory and political act together, which is something that was completely taken off the table really quite recently. It also suggests that the decision of the Supreme Court in Germany is going to be challenged, that there is a clear intention among the politicians in the Eurozone to try and address some of the systemic issues with the currency. So there is the potential here that Europe could surprise on the upside. I thought that the luxury goods sector is benefiting from both the continued expansion of money supply and then also the improving sentiment towards Europe. So Hermes is now at a new all-time high. At the other extreme, we have Richemont, and that has now pushed up and out of a short-term range. It's been ranging in a very contained fashion for most of the last 2 months, but has now pushed on to a recovery high. There's still a wide overextension relative to the trend mean, and buyers of luxury items will benefit from the continued expansion of money supply, because generally it is asset holders, who are generally wealthier individuals, benefit most from the expansion of money supply. If Europe is in fact moving towards additional cohesion, then Germany will be bearing a significant part of that burden, and bunds are now back below the trend mean. And in fact, when we look at it on a weekly basis, well, we can see clearly that there was meaningful resistance around 180, and that the price is now encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean, and that there is ample potential here that we're going to see some further downside for the bund. When we then think about the emerging markets, the ability of markets to rally and currencies to recover is very much contingent on their ability to tackle the coronavirus. So the Rand, for example, has been in stronger territory over the course of the last few weeks. The Brazilian real had been one of the weakest currencies anywhere and has unwound at least part of its oversold condition, but it was in weaker territory in here today. The outbreak in Mexico is nowhere near being contained, but the reluctance to splurge on the fiscal front, together with the country's hedge on the oil market, has helped to support the currency. It has now come back to test the lows that were posted back in early 2017. It's a natural area where we might anticipate some consolidation, but the bigger question here is how long is the Mexican administration going to persist when there are thousands of people dying and there is the clear potential that there's going to be social unrest. So I do think that some of these currencies do represent a source of potential risk here. Then when we look at the Indian rupee, it hasn't rallied to any measurable extent, and there is still clear potential that the rupee is going to continue to weaken from here. This still looks like an uptrend for the US dollar over the medium term. When we then think about what's going on in China, this does represent a wild card for the wider global economy because it represents the focus of geopolitical risk. And there is the clear potential that China is going to use the currency as a foil in the emerging geopolitical confrontation with the USA. Then, of course, we have the challenge in Hong Kong that the security law is going to have a deleterious effect on the quality of life for residents and the status of the city-state as a financial hub and a reliable place where laws can be enforced and arbitration for big corporations can be processed. And that is now very much in question, and this still represents a medium-term downtrend, and it has a lot of work to do to confirm any real contention that it's anything other than that. Then, when we look at countries that have done better in containing the spread of the virus, the KOSPI has unwound all of its oversold condition. It is now back in the region of the trend mean. Now, of course, the index has been trending downwards for more than 2 years already. This represents an area of resistance. It's going to have to do better than this in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. I think the reality here is that when we look at the currencies globally, when we look at the performance of stock markets, we have short-term overbought conditions. We have others that are in the region of significant areas of potential resistance, and some consolidation would not be at all unlikely. Then we have companies that have done spectacularly well during the coronavirus lockdowns. Zoom Media is certainly one of those. The problem for a company like this is not just in terms of its exposure to security risks and the porous paywall that it has, but I don't know anybody who enjoys Zoom meetings, and people are going to use any opportunity to get out of them when they can. And with lockdowns easing, then the impetus for holding on to these kinds of shares looks really quite tenuous. So there is the potential here that we're going to get a significant rotation out of some of the companies that have been doing spectacularly well. Amazon is one of those. This has been a very volatile range. We've had downside Q reversals, one in May, another one in April. It was way off the lows yesterday. It was off the highs in here today. There is, I think, some evidence at least that we are getting some resistance coming through and a reluctance to continue to pay new highs. Facebook is another example there. It broke out last week. This week it has been in negative territory. So far it is holding on to this breakout to new high ground. But I don't think it's beyond the bounds of possibility that we do get some consolidation here. There is obviously some risk that social media companies are going to get blowback from the Trump administration's intention to punish Twitter for fact-checking some of his statements. But there is the broader picture of foreign state involvement in election tampering, and that is a threat to all of the social media properties. So we do have the potential for some consolidation at the minimum, and I think that that is increasingly likely. We've seen very spectacular rallies for risk assets generally, and not least because of the incredible capital infusions that we've had over the last few months. what's happening in China represents a wild card. And it's, again, not something that is, I think, a factor that we can completely discount. Sentiment is still quite fragile, and we do have short-term overbought conditions. So a move to a more deleterious event where there is a potential that the trade war with China is going to be further exacerbated is something that is going to hit economies everywhere. And that, I think, is a significant factor. Now, when we think about gold, then it was in positive territory in here today. It's continuing to hold that psychological $1,700 area, which was a previous peak and is now representing support. It's a hedge against the potential for greater geopolitical tension. There is obviously the near-term challenge that a great deal of physical gold has been accumulated in New York, which has effectively closed the arbitrage with, or closed most of the arbitrage relative to spot in London. You don't have the same kind of massive futures trading fund in gold that you do have in the US oil fund for crude oil. So there won't be a short squeeze in the, or I should say a long squeeze in the role of gold. But we do have a short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean. So there is scope for some additional weakness in the event that there is some machination in the future market that comes up around expiry. The bigger picture, of course, is that there is this uncertainty out there. And then on top of that, you have the fact that the solution of governments and central banks is to continue to print money and to devalue the purchasing power of their respective currencies. There was a report issued by Goldman Sachs. I'll post it tomorrow, where they're really very negative on holding gold, despite the fact that it has been outperforming. And they're also very negative on the outlook for Bitcoin. But the problem with being overly negative on Bitcoin is that the chart looks bullish. And this looks like a rather steady consolidation below the psychological 10,000 level. There's been an impressive rebound off the lows posted in March. And there is the clear potential that the next significant move will be on the upside. Regardless of whether it's an investment asset class or not, that does not derail the potential that it can move on the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.